Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Nick here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in David Beauclair from SI.com. David, what's going on? How are we doing?
Robert, I'm excellent. How are you today? Joseph, good to see you.
We are wonderful. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. There's obviously a lot to get to with the Titans before the draft next week. David, I want to start with the A.J. Brown part of this. Obviously, Deebo Samuel requesting a trade from the Niners. There's been a lot of wide receiver movement this offseason, and the market has exploded for that position. What do you make of the situation that John Robinson and the Titans are in, trying to nail down the next contract with A.J. Brown, while also trying not to just totally break the bank when doing so?
Yeah, I mean, the price has clearly gone up. And, I mean, the thing is, it's only going to go up if you let him go through this season and get to free agency next year, right? Then it becomes an actual bidding war. So, it has to get done sooner rather than later. And I mean, it is going to get done, right? I mean, there's a lot of factors in play here, not the least of which is the fact that Julio Jones was released with a June 1st designation, so those salary cap savings aren't actually on the book right now. You know, you're going to have to wait, and I think a lot of it, it's not as cut and dried in that, but in a lot of ways, you know, the move to in cutting Julio Jones was done to free up money to lock up A.J. Brown for the long term. You're just kind of moving that money from one wide receiver to the other.
So do you expect, David, then, do you think that we're going to go through the draft process next week and there still will be no resolution with him? And beyond that, at this point, given all the information, and, I mean, I've changed a little bit on this in the last even couple days, give me a percentage chance you think the Titans would end up moving him.
I would say a 2% chance that the Titans end up moving him. And yes, I think it's going to last through the draft. I think it's going to take some time just because, I mean, let's face it, getting A.J. Brown's contract done is not a priority for that front office staff right now. The draft is the priority. And, you know, they're still going through meetings. They're still moving the board around and whatnot. But this is all, you know, the clamor over this, if you will, I think is more, it has more to do with this franchise and what has happened during its time in Tennessee, right? I mean, you look at it, this is a team that has gotten Randy Moss, Carl Pickens, Julio Jones at the end of their careers and got virtually little to nothing out of those guys. They were all disappointing here. You know, there was a lot of local ties and excitement with guys like Tyrone Calico and Justin Hunter and maybe some initial excitement about those guys, but they busted out big too and were huge disappointments. Outside of Derek Mason, this franchise during its time in Tennessee has had little success with wide receivers or anything to get excited about. Now you have A.J. Brown, and for 3 years, this guy has been a stud and makes the Pro Bowl in his second year and has played through injuries and has took over a game on Thursday night against the San Francisco 49ers last December. You know, made the huge catch against Houston. I don't even remember. You know, all these things start to run together, which game it was. It was here at Nissan Stadium, though. I think there's a certain amount of fear among the fan base, and that fear is sort of sucking up the oxygen right now and slanting people's reality about what this situation is and what's going to happen. I mean, it is a deal that's going to get done. John Robinson, when he wants to keep guys, he keeps guys. He finds ways to keep guys. He finds ways to pay them. You know, Harold Landry is the latest example here of that. So A.J. Brown's time is going to come to get a contract. He's too important to the quarterback. He's too important to the fan base. He's too important to the coaching staff and all the things he offers. It's just everybody, A.J. included, are going to have to wait for this deal to get done.
David Beauclair from SI.com on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. David, what do you think of the Tannehill situation not showing up for voluntary workouts? Is that a big deal? Is it no deal? What's kind of your thoughts on that situation from the quarterback?
I don't think it's a big deal. You know, it's never been a huge deal when guys don't show up at this time of year. But Mike Vrabel, more so, much more so than any coach I have worked with, has made it clear that he understands that you know, voluntary is voluntary, right? And he trusts these guys to show up whenever they're going to show up and be ready. And there's not a lot that can happen right now. But I go back to, you know, 2017 with these sorts of things. Remember when Derrick Henry wasn't here for the start of the off-season program, and Mike Mularkey brought it up in his press conference that day and clearly wasn't happy about it. And then several of the players came through, and Jarrell Casey, for example, called him out. And everybody's like, we don't know where this guy is. We don't know. And it turns out he was at Alabama finishing up some schooling, working out every day with the football program there. We all know what now, through the beauty of Instagram, of course, what Derrick Henry does when he's away from the facility and how he works out. And, you know, everything Derrick Henry has meant to this franchise since. So, you know, it's kind of this popular thing, who's here, who's not, but everybody's working. And a guy like Ryan Tannehill, you know, the quarterback position, of course, is different. You know, from what I've seen from Ryan Tannehill, he thinks about leadership. He knows what it is to be the quarterback of a team, what that means in the huddle, what that means in the locker room, those sorts of things. I'm convinced if it was really important for him to have a presence at this time of year, he would be here. My guess is once some legitimate on-field work starts, he'll be here. He'll be throwing to his guys and doing the things he needs to do.
Well, David, I don't know if you're as excited as we are. And yet, by the way, we were talking about the Derrick Henry thing earlier. Definitely worth bringing up when it comes to this Tannehill situation. But 5 days out? No, six days.
Six days out. Don't get ahead of yourself.
The big day. First of all, just how much are you looking forward to, you know, getting onto those 2023 mock drafts? You know, but also, what do you think we're going to see? And speaking of the draft, you know, another great attempt by Kaharski to get, as I think we've all tried in various times, to get them to talk about which position they see Dylan Raiden's at. But how much do you think what they think of him influences what they do starting Thursday?
That's a really good question. I think I don't know why they won't offer clarity on this, but I think they see him very much as a tackle, and I think they see him as their right tackle for this season. I think they look at it as a sort of a Christian Fulton situation, that, you know, they're going to take the leap of faith with this guy. Didn't see a lot from him his rookie season, but did got some game action along the way, and now they're in a situation where, you know, they sort of have to swallow hard and throw them out there and hope for the best. And I guess, you know, from John Robinson's perspective, if some tackle falls to 26 in the draft and we can draft him and plug him in at right tackle, then great, we'll do that. And we'll see what Raiden's can do at left guard. But I think, I don't think there's any question that they see him more as a tackle. That, you know, I mean, even here's what, you know, look at what Robinson yesterday said. He goes, I think Dylan has shown he can play tackle. I think he's worked at guard. So, I mean, they put him at guard, I think, last year more. That was more a, look, who knows where we might need him. He's, you know, if we can get opportunities to play him anywhere, we will. But I think they very much see him as a tackle, and they're expecting him to be their right tackle this season.
David, if you had to put a percentage chance on the Titans drafting a quarterback at 26th overall on Thursday, what would that be?
I'm not high. Maybe no more than 10%, probably. And I say that, you know, if you had asked me the same question under the same circumstances 2 years ago, my answer would have been very different. But when Russell Wilson gets traded and you know, all the movement we've seen, when you've got guys like Baker Mayfield and Jimmy Garoppolo here in the middle of April, don't know what their jobs are going to be for 2022, I mean, the quarterback market is way different than it used to be. And you can, you know, you can go find a quarterback through different means these days than you used to be able to. And I'm not sure that the Titans trading for Ryan Tannehill maybe wasn't the start of this, you know, the first domino in what we've seen the last couple of years, that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff switch spots and it works out really well for the Rams. And, you know, it's just everybody, it used to be, if you had a quarterback who looked anything like a starter in this league, you held on to him like grim death, right? And you know, now that's not the case. So I think you know, this franchise obviously likes Ryan Tannehill. They obviously like Logan Woodside. They've put some time now into Kevin Hogan. They've got a really high priced starter. They've got two affordable backups who you know, with very little experience, but you gotta save some money somewhere. So I think you worry about the quarterback position when you need a quarterback, and I think the way this roster is set up right now, they don't need a quarterback. And considering that you've gotten so little out of your first round picks the last 2 years, I think you need to use that pick on a position that is going to contribute heavily to your football team this year.
Trying to think of another math question I can throw at you. You had no idea, right? Yeah, it's all percentage answers. Okay, I'll break from that. So let's say, yeah, they're not going to go that route. They do end up picking at 26. Is there someone you really like there? And if there's maybe like their top choice at offensive guard or their top choice at receiver, what do you think about that choice?
Yeah, receiver's the position that's really interesting to me, Joe, because there's been so many good wide receivers coming into the league the last couple of years, and the Titans have chosen not to draft any of them. You know, now they obviously hit on Nick Westbrook-Ikhina as an undrafted, and he's a good quality player, but you know, there's reasons that he was undrafted, right? And you look at a guy like Elijah Moore, for example, with the Jets, who they could have had last year with their first round pick, but didn't get him. You know, there's a big difference there, and I wonder if this is the year that the Titans go wide receiver early in the draft, and I kind of think it's not. You know, I think the sheer volume of wide receivers coming in, you know, creates more of a secondary free agent market too, where you know there's still opportunities to get a veteran guy on the cheap here after the draft or closer to the start of training camp. And I think it's probably offensive line again. I think, you know, the line play is clearly important to this to John Robinson, to the coaching staff and whatnot. They have tried the last couple of years to set themselves up for the future. They're not really there with the offensive line as far as that goes. So I think they're going to go back, you know, somebody who it might not necessarily be a guard. It could be, I can't think of the guy's name, the center from Iowa, for example, where maybe you bring him in, you plug him in at guard for this year, and then, you know, he can replace Ben Jones in a year or two when you decide Ben is finally done. But I think it's more likely that offensive line, as unsexy as that is probably the primary focus again for round one in this draft.
Well, David, thankfully we're getting close to finding out next week. We appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Great stuff as always, and enjoy the weather this weekend.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. You guys have a great day.
You as well. David Beauclair from SI.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1037. 1025. We'll react to what David had to say. Welcome more of your thoughts on the Titans as they prepare for the NFL draft. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage starting at 5 o'clock on Thursday, April 28th and Friday, April 29th on 1025, The Game, presented by Social Furniture, Apple Collision Centers, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and the Nashville Sheriff's Office. Be sure to join us on site as 1025, The Game will be broadcasting live on Thursday, April 28th from 3rd and Home, Germantown's Bar with a Ballpark. You can watch all our live coverage of the NFL draft via 1025 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Liam texting in says, David nailed it, and our anxiety about losing AJ is exacerbated a bit because of the parallel with the Preds' historic struggle to find talented forwards and the potential of losing Forsberg as well. So what do you make of that? Like the two tied together of AJ Brown and Philip Forsberg.
Well, we've already done the whole like which one are you more confident in happening, and it's an interesting parallel there. Not perfect, but yeah, the Preds obviously have been searching for the great homegrown forward. And I know Forsberg's not technically homegrown, but you know, basically,
he's pretty much homegrown.
Yeah, pretty much. And of course, the Titans with the receiver. And I agree with I don't know if I agree exactly the percentages, but I wouldn't go a whole lot higher than that either. I do think sometimes we get into these discussions like if you're John Robinson, like, you know, do you care that the history of the franchise at receiver is, you know what I mean? Like, it really isn't
probably
relevant
not
to your job, right? I mean, you're just trying to build this team, and you're just trying to go year after year and have the best possible team. So that's more of a Titans fan slash media who've been here the whole way thing, because it's, right? And it's, I guess it's, see, that's where it's different too, because with David Poyle, it's actually like that's all his tenure. So,
yep.
You know, so he's lived that. John Robinson is just trying to, you know, trying to win a Super Bowl.
He probably
could be a lot harder without AJ Brown.
It could be. He probably cares a lot more about the offensive lineman you continue to search for in the first round to work out, or the second round. That's probably more on his mind than the wide receiver history of the franchise.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And which offensive lineman will it be this year?
Yeah, we'll see. Maddie on the text line says, if Debo and AJ Brown will command the same contract, who would you prefer? I love me some AJ, but I'm leaning Debo. This is coming from Maddie on the text line.
I think AJ Brown has a higher ceiling as a receiver than Debo Samuel. Some people call me crazy for that, but I do. I think he's a better receiver than Debo. Love what San Francisco did with Debo this year, and he's, you know, it's funny because late last season, I'd say a few different times, A.J. Brown got asked about that.
Yep.
Just because I actually think A.J. Brown could be a heck of a running back. You know? I mean, he could do the Debo wide back or running receiver or whatever you want to call that position if he was in that offense.
But is now the time to make my Lindale White wide back joke, or did I miss that, that boat yesterday?
You can always make it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's never too late.
All right.
Good one.
Thanks.
So, honestly, it's close. And Debo had just this monster year. So, if you don't watch him all the time, and I don't watch Debo all the time, I watch him quite a bit, and you looked at just the numbers from last year, it's not close, right? Debo Samuel had a got yourself paid year. AJ Brown was already getting, like, there was no comparison between them going to last year, right?
Yep.
I think I'd still go with the big caveat here is, are you telling me they're both the same level of health? Because that is where you could have a little bit of hesitation with A.J. Brown. That is the hesitation. But if I know he's healthy, he's going to play, if that's what you're telling me, I'm taking him.
Well, and the other part is, like, if you're a team out there interested in Debo Samuel, are you worried about running him into the ground like San Francisco was on pace to do last year? Because apparently Debo's thinking about that.
No doubt. I mean, it's a really – and it's a valid concern. It's like, hey, this was great. It helped us get to the NFC title game. It helped me have a huge season, but also it's not sustainable. So it's really interesting. You would think that a player, you know, like however you get the ball, you're a skilled player on offense, great. But, hey, man, it's just a different level of punishment if you're taking it out of the backfield.
I got a texture that says, if an athlete in the draft does not want to play for a certain team, is that made known to that team or does it matter? This is coming from someone on the text line.
Well, I mean, it's happened before. The famous one is Eli Manning and the yeah. You know, the Chargers and the Giants and that whole situation.
You got to have some pretty good clout, though, if you're going to go do that.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part.
I mean, otherwise the Lions would never draft anyone.
Sorry.
Yep, we're done.
We're withdrawing. We'll just sign some undrafted free agents, okay? Yeah, no one will play for us.
I do not want to play for the Lions, and I do not want to play for the Jags. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, now that really doesn't happen.
Like
yeah.
Trevor Lawrence comes out last year. Sorry, guys, I'm not going to Jacksonville. It's not going to happen.
That would have been so amazing. Yeah, for the most part, yeah, if you're the clear number one pick quarterback or something like that, I mean, you can go way back and go now. I'm trying to remember exactly how it went with Elway, but the Colts, the Baltimore Colts, still the Baltimore Colts, were just absolute cheeks in 1982. I don't remember if they drafted him and then they had to trade him, or it was the same sort. I don't think it was. I think they actually did draft him, right? And they traded him to the Broncos. I think that's how it went. But that was another situation of, I'm not playing for that organization.
Yeah.
So it doesn't happen too often. It may be like it may be spoken. Like, oh, my God, Lions, please don't draft me. But basically, you're screwed if they do.
Yeah, I mean, most people coming out of the draft, like, what do you do at that point? Like, if you're Aiden Hutchinson this year and you're like, ah, sorry, Jacksonville, I just have no interest coming to play for you guys. And then you get drafted anyway. Like, what do you do after that? Like, oh, okay. Guess right. I'm here to play. Sorry. I know, Doug Peterson coming in changing that culture, though. So maybe Jacksonville's a pretty hot destination now.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they've put some nice pictures up. They've dusted. They got some new TVs.
Yeah.
Playing some golf. Someone asked in the text line if Tannehill has traditionally – it's a good question. I thought about this the other day. Has traditionally participated. So here's the thing. So in 2020, it was COVID.
Yeah.
So they didn't have – that situation, and I'm trying to remember even if last year, were they still in? I don't remember last year exactly what it was, but obviously the last two off seasons have been different. Now, the Titans traded for, so I don't even think this has been, it hasn't been this situation since he's been the starter for sure.
Yeah.
Now, they traded for him in March of 19, so I honestly don't remember. We probably could figure it out if he showed up.
I'm sure he probably did.
He probably did. It's a new team. You know, you're coming in as the backup, soon to be the most popular guy in the city because the backup quarterback often is in NFL city.
Yep.
So he probably did that. But this has been, I think, really the first opportunity for like the full spring. I don't. Do you remember what it was last year? I don't remember.
I think they had it to some degree, but I don't remember.
It was still different,
it
wasn't
was different,
it?
Yeah.
So it's a good question. But again, that even if he has or hasn't, whatever, I mean, it is different now. It is different now because of his performance on the field. And so it's just things he does now are going to be perceived differently. And, yes, some people are just waiting for a reason to jump on him.
Mark on the text line says, Lindale White is my favorite Titans running back. Just because I know without a doubt I can't play in the NFL, but watching him made me feel like I could. This is coming from Mark on the text line. Hey, the Smash and Dash, man, they were awesome for that one year.
Yeah. And man, he was great at USC. Just a little big, I guess.
You give the ball to Lindale on the goal line, he's getting in there.
When did he when did his career end?
I don't know.
Now I'm interested in looking up the entire Lindale White career. He had a nice run.
He did. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll look ahead at a gigantic weekend coming up for the Nashville Predators coming up next. Speaking of the Preds, make sure you join the Nashville Predators for the Smashville Open House event tomorrow, Saturday, April 23rd. You can have your chance to pick your seats for the 2022-23 season. Plus, all fans can sign up for the chance to shoot on net to win two lower-level half-season tickets as well. And you can tour the Preds locker room. Have you ever wanted to see inside the Preds locker room? Well, you'll have that chance coming up tomorrow at the Smashville Open House. There will be complimentary popcorn and Coca-Cola products and 50% off all other food and beverage options as well. Save 30% off all Stadium Series merchandise at the Nashville Locker Room. It's the Smashville Open House taking place tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. Make sure you check it out. You can check out the Preds taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning on Fang Vision while you're there as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Pro Golf is coming to Nashville this May with the Simmons Bank Open. You can text the keyword golf now to 615-737-1025 for a chance to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drinks, plus a Predators gift pack including a polo shirt, golf balls, and umbrella. Text golf now to 615-737-1025 to be entered to win. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Michelle Knezovic, intern Nick here with you on this Friday morning. We've got the Red Rant coming up at 7:45. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, coming up at 8 o'clock as well. Joe, big games tomorrow and on Sunday for the Nashville Predators. They take on the defending cup champion, two-time defending cup champion, Tampa Bay Lightning, on the road tomorrow, who just beat Toronto last night 8-1. So the Lightning, hopefully, if you're the Predators, getting all their goals out of the way last night against Toronto, and then Minnesota on Sunday at home. A Minnesota team that's been red hot as of late, but also a Minnesota team that the Predators have pretty much slapped around so far this year, too. So you know on Sunday that Minnesota is going to want that one pretty bad.
So what's the what do the Preds have to get out of these two games this weekend? They got five games in 7 days. The fifth, you hope, doesn't even matter to you.
Honestly, if you could win one this weekend, I still think you're in a pretty good spot.
Get 2 points.
Yeah.
Get 2 points out of the weekend.
I mean, you brought up the schedule earlier for Dallas. Dallas losing again last night, by the way, to Calgary, but they're back at home. I think it's Seattle, Vegas, and then who's it after that? Anaheim?
Yeah,
they got one more in there.
Oh, it's a bad one too. It's Anaheim. It's all at home.
Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Arizona, Anaheim, and Seattle at home. Plus, so four straight at home, and plus, you know, the Vegas game, which is Vegas fighting for survival.
Yeah.
So again, it's interesting because obviously if they beat Vegas in that stretch, then, you know, Vegas is in trouble, and you are in really good shape to make the playoffs. But right now, you are in a good position to get the first wild card and get Calgary instead of Colorado. So I guess if you're the Preds, well, first of all, if you're actually the Preds, then you don't even talk about these things.
Yeah.
But, you know, if in terms of what would be best for them, you know, it's one of those things. It's just like if you know that you're going to do well enough, then yes, you'd rather see Vegas go in there and keep them and give them the one L, and they're still probably going to get 6 points to finish.
I mean, if you come out of this weekend, if you're the Preds and you can get 2 points, that puts you at 95 with 78 games played, and then 79th game will be on Sunday against Minnesota. So you'll be at 79 games played. Let's say you're at 95 points. I mean, that's still a pretty tall order for Vegas at that point to get it done. And then Dallas, I mean, the schedule is what it is. They're just not playing well right now. They didn't just get beat this week. They got handled this week.
But it was a West trip.
It was.
You know, you're right. I mean, they're 4-4-2 in their last 10. They lost to Reno. They got smoked. They gave up 15 goals in 3 games out West. But I still like them in the finish, you know, with the schedule. You're home and just, you know, beat these bad teams. There's 6 points. There's 97.
By the way, the Preds' playoff percentage chance went up last night. It was a 96.9 yesterday. It's a 97.2 now.
Oh, 0.3 up. Yep. Okay.
Dallas is down to 72.8. Vegas up to 31.9. They were 13% 2 days ago.
Okay.
That's 31.9.
It's interesting, and Vancouver is still in there.
1.7% for Vanderbilt. Vancouver.
And Vanderbilt. Dallas. So you look at that, like the Kings now are pretty much, and I'm surprised, and kudos to the Kings, but the Kings are, it's going to be Kings Oilers, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, of course, that could be it. I mean, that could be it for that division. But Vancouver's still hanging around there. Vancouver's 6 points behind the Preds. The Preds have a game in hand.
Yeah.
So
they're in trouble.
They're in trouble. They're hanging on by a thread. And so is Vegas. So, again, if I agree. If the Preds get two out of this weekend, they're sitting at 95 going into next week. It's just hard to imagine. You know.
Well, let me put it this way. Any more than two this weekend, and you're in, I think. I mean, if you get any more than two this week, you're going to be sitting in a great spot as next week begins.
So Vegas has had a little break, quite a break actually.
Yeah, they don't play until Sunday.
They're going to end up, yeah, and they got the Sharks. So like Sharks come into your place, you know, and then they strike out on the road, and again the huge one against Dallas, one way or the other, that's going to help the Preds. Then you go to Chicago, and then on the last day at St. Louis, and St. Louis is right there battling Minnesota for who's going to have home ice in that series.
Yep.
So, and maybe that will be decided by then, but regardless, yeah, I just.
They're both at 105.
The Preds would have to seriously just collapse here to not be in the playoffs.
John in Thompson Station texting in says, seems likely the Preds will quit shuffling the lines and go with set lines the rest of the season. Besides the Sissons line, what would you like the lines to be? I'd go Granlund, Forsberg, Duchesne, and then Johansson with Tomasino and Cousins, McCarron, Tolvanen, and Cunnan. But I bet Hines puts Cunnan on the second line. By the way, to that front, Cody Glass sitting down in Milwaukee yesterday, so that would tell me Michael McCarron's back in there tomorrow.
Yep, McCarron centering the fourth line, and I think I like those lines. From who on the text line was that?
John in Thompson Station.
John, I think I like your lines. What do you think, Tomasino Cousins with Johansson? Did you do that?
It's either Cousins or Cunnan. I'd probably just go Tolvanen up there. I'd go Johansson, Tolvanen, Tomasino, and I'd leave the fourth line with McCarron,
Cousins, and Cunnan.
Yeah, that's probably what
I'd do. That's fine, too. Okay, fine. I like your lines.
I got a texture that says, Viking Matt says, screw it, Preds get 3 points this weekend. It's coming from Viking Matt on the text line. So taking my two and moving it up one. If that happens, if you get 3 out of 4 points in a back-to-back with Tampa and Minnesota, I think the Predators would sign up for that right now without even having to play the game. Send it my way.
I mean, take it and run. Yeah, no question about it.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Rob from Franklin, who wants to weigh in. Rob, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Good morning, gentlemen, and happy Friday.
You too.
I just had a thought. I'm in marketing, and wouldn't it be cool if early next week we had Robinson and Poyle in a dual press conference? Hey, guess what? We're signing Forsberg, and we're signing A.J. Brown, and they announce it and have a cross-sectional marketing campaign that has a huge jump to it and alleviate all of this anxiety, A-N-X, for everybody, and get it out in the open and have some fun. Both sports and both teams celebrate one another. Wouldn't that be cool?
Hey, I think it'd be awesome.
I like it, but then you got to follow that up with A.J. Brown on skates, and I want to see Forsberg, you know, maybe playing
a little go route.
Maybe see Forsberg try to do the Ferkser role, you know.
You do realize that playing hockey is the hardest sport on the planet, right? You skate, then you have to have stamina, strength. You have to handle the puck, and oh, by the way, somebody's coming at you faster than they do in football and hitting harder than they do in football.
A.J. can do it. I got confidence in it.
So I'd like to see that.
It's not as hard as golf, but I hear you.
Yeah. Golf's hard, man.
Golf's a sport.
Yeah, I know.
We agree.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The Red Rant with Michelle Knezovic coming up next. Michelle, before we get there, tell us about your friends at Seltzerland.
Thanks, Robbie. Yes, Seltzerland is turning Nashville into a hard seltzer paradise on Saturday, April 30th at Riverside Golf Links. You can enjoy this one-of-a-kind immersive experience as you spend the day tasting over 100 unique seltzers. Indulge in mouthwatering munchies, tons of seltzer swag. You know I'm going to bust out my Instagram so you can tag them. Seltzerland has rounded up the best hard seltzers brands in the land for one epic day dedicated to the bubbly brew everybody can't get enough of. I definitely know I can't get enough of it. it. You don't want to miss out on Seltzerland 2022, April 30th at Riverside Golf Links. So join me, Michelle Knezovic, and my friend Caroline Fenton of Stillman & Company at Seltzerland on Saturday, April 30th at Riverside Golf Links. You are not going to want to miss it. Make sure you listen to ESPN 102.5 The Game all month long for your chance to win tickets to Seltzerland on April 30th at Riverside Golf Links.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. But today, it is the Red Rant with Michelle Knezovic. Michelle's rant of the week. Michelle, I turn things over to you.
Guys, I'm so excited for this one. So just to preface this, I had a couple different ways I could go with this rant.
Multiple options.
If you ever want to, you know, figure out something that bothers you, just text your family group message. So I sent out a text to my family group message and I said, guys, doing the rant tomorrow on the show, what bothers me? I have a couple options, but I want something that really gets me fired up, right? And my little sister, Christina, who is 16, they're on spring break right now, sends me a list of 10 things, detailed, specific things. I'll give you a little taste. The first one being when somebody eats my turkey club out of the fridge as my leftovers.
I've heard about this one.
And the last one being when I can't decide which two shoes I want to buy and I can only buy one pair. I'm like, okay, now you're just taking shots at me and mom sees this in the message. But not going to use one of hers, but I told her I would, you know, give her a little credit. But it did spark something that happened to me about 3 weeks ago. And you guys heard a little bit of it, but I'm going to tell this story and my rant. So we all know about the six, right? Joe's like, the six.
The six.
Which
we listened to the six last night coming back from a soccer game.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, you guys sounded good.
Thanks. We pre-recorded it, but.
Okay. Well, now you've ruined my whole.
The six.
Okay.
Six.
But anyway, so it's a show that started not too long ago, right? It's after Stillman & Company, just 1 hour, kind of just an extension of these shows. So it only started about, I would say, like 2 months ago, really consistently. And I do it with Elijah, and sometimes Max is in there. A bunch of us kind of rotate in there. So Elijah asked me one day, hey, Michelle, you want to come back in? You want to do the six in studio? I was like, yeah, sure. That's awesome. So he calls me around like 3 o'clock and he's like, hey, just letting you know, there's so much traffic on Murfreesboro Road. There's a huge accident in front of the station. I was like, okay, no worries. So usually try to get here about an hour before the show at six. I leave my house in downtown around 4 o'clock, right? Takes me an hour and 45 minutes to just get to Murfreesboro Road right over here. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is awful. You know, jam, whatever. I'm calling Elijah. I'm like, hey, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if I'm going to make it at 6 o'clock, by the way. So, like, you're going to have to start this thing.
I'll be late for the six.
I will be late for the six. I didn't think it would take 2 hours. I'm like, okay, maybe an hour of traffic. So then it's 5:45 and we're about, you know, less than a mile from the station. We can see the sign of 102.5 The Game. And Eliza's like, Michelle, I just talked to the police officers right in front of the station. Don't worry. They're going to flag you down. Like, I told them our situation. The road's blocked off. Whatever. So what we find out after the fact is that he talked to the security guards on the left side of the street, and I was coming from the right side of the street. So no police officers over on my side. It's just this Mr. Mean traffic cop. Okay? That's what we're going to name him. So we pull into the Sonic kind of right down the road from us. And, you know, Ryan, my boyfriend, is driving. Thank God, because if I was driving, I kind of would have been screwed. I wouldn't have anywhere to put my car. So we're driving. And essentially the message was, you know, just move the cones and you guys can come right down. So we're driving through the Sonic to like get onto the road to just shoot down to the station right here. And at this point, it's like 10 of 6. And the traffic, I don't think I've ever seen somebody move so fast. This traffic guy zooms his car over, like right in front of my boyfriend's car. So we're like blocked. And he gets out of the car and he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, hi, sir. Like, here's the situation quick. I work at this radio station right here. We're going live in 10 minutes on the radio. My co-host just talked to the cops. Like, I promise you, like, I'm not breaking rules. Like, I made sure like this was okay. Like, I'm not trying to just break the law out here. And he's like, well, I didn't say it was okay. I'm like, well, we spoke to like the cops and everything, just being so incredibly mean. Obviously, he can tell that like I'm stressing out and I'm like, I'm going to lose my job. I mean, I was probably being a little dramatic because Chase already said, he's like, Michelle, I wouldn't have fired you for that. So like, relax. But I'm stressing out. It's live radio. Like, I got
to
get there.
For being late to the six.
And this guy is on the walkie talkie. And I'm like, looking at my clock. I'm like, okay, it's 5:55. Being so mean. No, you can't. You can't do it. You can't go down there. Can't go down there. He's like, I'm like, can I walk? Can I run? He's like, eh, that's fine. And so I'm running right down this road and they're laughing at me. He's like, ha, 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 like, that sucks. I'm like, can you be a little nicer, sir? Like, you didn't have to be so rude. You could have been like, you know what? Like, we really, like, aren't allowing cars down there. Like, I don't know what they told you. Literally laughing at me as I'm running on the side of this sketchy road. Right, guys? I even sent you guys a selfie, I think, when I was doing it. And running down the road. And basically my rant is, can you be nicer, the traffic cop? Because I wouldn't have been so upset. And we are going live. Like, you could have just been like, hey, I can zoom you down there really quick. Or, hey, you know what? We're not letting any cars down there. Why don't you walk? But he literally is laughing at me, making fun of me. And like, ha, that sucks. You got to run. You're going to miss your show and all this stuff. And I'm like, you know what? I was so heated. So there's my rant.
Okay. Have you not told that story on the air already? Or is that just off the air?
Or the traffic guard part of it.
Okay.
It was off the air.
It was off the air. Okay. I'm like, I know this story. Okay.
Yeah.
So you've held on to this with the traffic cop.
This has been festering.
Yeah. I think that I'm with you on this. I feel like a lot of your rants come down to
people not being nice.
Can you be nicer, please?
Yes.
Well, and you know what?
It's a problem.
It's a problem because I get it was a situation, and then I'm running, and the cops over here at the scene are like, sorry, lady. Like, and I'm like, this is not funny. I'm like literally crying because I'm so stressed. Like, been in traffic for an hour and a half. I had to pee. Like, I'm running to get to the station. I run up here. I get up here at 5:59. Like, I peed, got in here. I was like, perfect, Elijah, we got time. Ian looks at us, right? He goes, hey, guys, it's Smashville Live tonight.
I was going to say, that was the best part of the whole story.
That's right.
That's right. I'm like, okay. So now I'm going to have to go walk by all these people and tell them that I totally messed up. And
see, guys.
I'm like, I can't do it. It's like a walk of shame back. I'm like, yeah, no, can't do that. So
was he nice coming back?
No. Totally went out the back way and we parked on the other side. So didn't have to deal with him. But yes, an overarching thing of my rants is people need to be nicer in this world. And it's not funny to watch a 24-year-old girl run on the side of the street crying to get to work.
Based on how the folks at the body shop act, I think maybe, you know, like, yeah, maybe you're going to start influencing some people to be nicer, right?
Well, listen, if you hear this today, if you hear this rant, if you're listening on the stream, whatever, I think you should pay it forward somehow. Tell somebody you like your shoes. Tell somebody you like something. Be nice. Smile. Hold a door and say thank you when somebody holds your door.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what we're here for.
That's right. I agree.
And especially if you're a police officer or a public safety person or a first responder.
There's a texter has a rant for you.
Oh, gosh.
On tight ends.
Listen.
Tight ends. Let's try it.
On the six.
People also make fun of me for that, and it's a speech impediment. Okay? Tight ends.
But the thing is, it's so interesting because no one says Titans. Tennessee Titans.
It's just weird.
What do you, Tennessee
Titans.
Titans.
Yeah. Now I'm afraid to look at a text.
You don't actually say the tuh, right?
No, just Titans.
Yeah. And you?
Titans.
I think you're getting better.
Listen.
I think it's getting better.
Be nice to me because I've had people call and I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to do it wrong.
By the way, shout out to intern Nick on the text line too.
Yeah.
And a shout out to intern Nick says, just realized Nick I knew was the intern Nick. Don't let his size fool you. I watched this kid play football in school and pound for pound, he's the hardest hitting dude I've ever seen. Best wishes, Nick. Nick.
Yeah, Nick.
You like big thumper out there on the football field? What are you talking about here? All right.
He's saying full something.
Fullback and linebacker.
That's what I'm talking
linebacker
about.
For
Father Ryan.
There you
Father
go.
Father Ryan. Okay. Oh.
Nick out there just laying
Jimmy
the wood on
Wyatt's
people.
Jimmy Wyatt's old stomping out there. Think. Okay. Nice.
Shout out to intern Nick.
I will keep that in mind next time I want to rip on Nick.
That's right. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.